Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a bunch of things that happened at CES 2019, which is the Consumer Electronics Show. It's a really big tech expo, which we spoke about in the last episode of Orbital as well, where we had previewed the event. Right now, we have two people in America who were unfortunately unable to join us for this episode. But we have a new person on the podcast who's joining us after a very, very long time. Welcome back, Ali.
Thanks, Pranay. It's great to be back. As some of our long-time listeners will know, I used to be on the podcast a while ago. Then I kind of went on a break and now here I am again.
Yeah, so that's Ali Pardiwala. He is our in-house audio and TV expert. Now, for those of you who don't remember or were not exactly around when Orbital started, Ali was there on the first episode of Orbital. And then in between, you know, he went to some other places, you know, adventuring in the Himalayas or something. And then he came back here. And here we are to talk about a bunch of things. Audio, TV, which happened at CES. And also, towards the end of this episode, we will mention some new Mi TVs, which were launched by Xiaomi. And another Mi soundbar, launched by the same company. Because I guess it's relevant in India. So, first things first, let's start with CES. So, I don't know how to, you know, cover everything that happened in CES in one episode. There's absolutely no way we can do that. What we are going to do is pick the announcements that stood out for us. So I will go with the phone, since, you know, on Orbital we talk a lot about phones. So there was a phone which was sort of foldable. Now, we had thought that we'll see a bunch of phones, but there was only one on display. It was called the Royal Flex Pi.
Yes, the Royal Flex Pi is probably the world's first actual foldable phone to be available to the buying public. But as with all first-time things, it probably doesn't make any sense to pick up something like that. It's very, very early technology. And let's wait till Samsung actually gets into the business before we take foldable phones.
Did see a bunch of laptops also being launched at CES. So the one that really caught my attention was the Dell Alienware Area 51M. Man, that was a handful to pronounce. But yeah, this is a laptop with an upgradable CPU and GPU, in the sense that not like at the time of purchase, but even after purchasing, you can upgrade the CPU and GPU on this laptop.
I think the thing is that, you know, diehard users are probably the desktop users who know what they're doing anyway. I'm not sure how often laptop users would need to do something like updating their hardware and stuff like that. But I suppose it's nice to have the option.
Other than that, I don't think in the laptop space, you know, much caught my eye except for that Acer Swift 7 laptop, which was unveiled at CES. Now, this, Acer, the Swift 7 line is known to be thin and light. So this one is at 890 grams and it has an almost bezel-less display with a 92% screen-to-body ratio and a weirdly annoying pop-up camera that's on the keyboard. Like, obviously, like, if you have to have an all-screen design, the front camera, the webcam has to go somewhere, right? So it's gone to the keyboard. So yeah, that also sort of caught my eye because it was a 14-inch screen in 890 that. But anyway, let's move on to the more interesting things, because CES every year is more about audio and TV than it is about anything else. So Ali, what about TVs? What amazing thing did we see?
So yeah, like you said, this year, most years, CES has had a bit of a focus on audio and TVs. And the big announcement this year has to definitely be coming from Samsung, which has showcased what is probably the biggest TV you can buy. I wouldn't say buy because it's still kind of in the concept phase. But Samsung has showcased a 219-inch TV, and 219 inches is
bigger than my wall.
Bigger than the walls in most of our homes.
Yeah.
So even if you could empty your wall and put the TV there, you'd probably have to sit about three apartments back to be able to enjoy the view, and that would involve buying apartments, which is not something that we all can afford.
Yeah, or, you know, if you and your very amazing neighbor and their very amazing neighbor are, you know, in perfect harmony, you can break the walls down and sort of have an amazing experience.
Everybody can chip in, buy the 219-inch TV, which will probably cost a couple of crore rupees if we have to put a price on it.
Yeah, I mean, 100-inch TVs go for around 20 lakhs. So 200 inch will probably be around 90 lakhs or so, because you know the price increases exponentially. So yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, it's so like I said, it isn't something that's commercially available right now. This is just concept stuff showcased by Samsung. And another special thing about it is that it is it features new technology. It features micro LED technology, which is I'd say somewhere between OLED and LED, in the sense that micro LED uses emissive technology similar to OLED, but at the same time it isn't using organic elements, which means in the long run it will be a little more economical to manufacture. So going forward, we're likely to see micro LED TVs coming to the market. Right now it's still a bit expensive to manufacture because it's new screen tech, and as with anything new, it's expensive in the first couple of years. But in the long run, we're likely to see micro LED replace LED altogether. I think let's move on to audio. And one of the big announcements as far as audio is concerned is the Sennheiser soundbar. Now this isn't technically a big deal because soundbars they're not new. A lot of companies have been doing soundbars for a while. But the Sennheiser Ambio soundbar is special because Sennheiser is typically a headphone maker. Now, this is the first consumer speaker from Sennheiser to be launched ever. Sennheiser does manufacture speakers under the Neumann brand, which it owns. But these are professional speakers which are meant for studio use and stuff like that. But as a consumer speaker, this is the first one. Now, what is special about it is that it comes with 13 speaker drivers. And these 13 drivers, positioned in various ways, will create the Ambio 3D effect, which is to say that it can replicate a surround sound system despite being only one single unit.
Yeah, so I mean, with most other speakers that are like, sort of, how would I say it? I mean, faking it is like a bad term to use, but using that virtual effect to create
this
that.
This is a virtual effect.
Yeah, exactly. So it's with most other speakers in the market that you get, especially at lower price points, you do expect poor quality because of, you know, not actually having those physical, maybe a subwoofer and other extra speakers out there, satellite speakers. But if Sennheiser has done it, then yeah, I would take it seriously because in the audio space, they are quite well known, especially in the headphone space. And, you know, I guess I have used maybe 5 or 6 of their products. And so far, in terms of audio quality, none of them has been like trash. Everything has been like decent, good, amazing. I've heard those. So if they've done a speaker, yeah, I would definitely be very interested in, you know, checking it out. And what price is that one?
So it's not going to be cheap. It's 2,499 euro is the price currently mentioned on the product, which means we're talking about the price going into a few lakhs. This isn't affordable stuff, but this is top level quality as far as the sound is concerned. And if you think about it, it's a replacement for a proper 5.1 surround setup. It's technically a 5.1.4 setup, which is to say 5 regular speakers, 4 additional speakers and 1 subwoofer. That is the sound that it's attempting to replicate. And I've heard a few of these virtual surround soundbars in the past. These have obviously used Dolby Atmos technology, which is also something that the Sennheiser soundbar supports. But Dolby Atmos is essentially a way to replicate the surround sound effect by using a soundbar. And it has existed and it does work. You do really feel like the sound is coming from behind you, even though you can clearly...
This whole 5G thing has been a big theme at CES, where, you know, a bunch of these telecom companies have gathered and said 5G is a thing and you should eventually move to 5G and all of that. There was even one incident where AT&T, which is a telecom operator in the US, misled customers by putting a fake 5G logo on their phones just randomly. And another company then made fun of them by sticking a 9G sticker on their phone and just saying, yeah, see, I mean, you can just put any logo anywhere. So currently 5G tech is not available in smartphones because no chip supports it for smartphones. I think the Snapdragon 855 is due to launch this year at some point. So once that comes in, 5G support will be there. But a bunch of companies have launched some 5G devices. So I think laptops are there right now, which were announced at us. Okay then, so is there anything else from CES that you want to highlight, Ali?
I think CES we've covered everything, but there was one big announcement today, which came from Xiaomi and it came closer to home. So we've got new Xiaomi TVs, which unbelievably enough are not as exciting to me anymore. But that's just me because I've seen a bunch of other Xiaomi TVs. In any case, we do have the Xiaomi Mi TV 4X Pro, which was launched in the 55-inch size, and also the Mi TV 4A Pro in a 43-inch size.
Yeah, so let's talk about the 4X Pro first. It's a 4K UHD display panel TV. It supports HDR10 technology, which is the important thing that I mentioned earlier. TV with HDR support is always better than a TV without. And this, the price of this TV is 40,000 rupees. And I am not going to read out the RAM and storage.
Yeah, let's not get into all of that. The important thing is it's a 4K TV. Yeah. It's got HDR. It whether you like it or not, it comes with Patchwall OS. It's a smart TV which supports Patchwall. Now, some of the good points on Patchwall are that there is a claimed 700,000 hours worth of content on it. But a lot of people will feel that Patchwall is perhaps too intrusive and probably collects too much data, which is a bit of a conversation topic on its own as far as smart TVs are concerned. But in any case, just use the TV as a regular TV. They come with built-in Chromecast, so you don't need to go and buy yourself another thing. You'll just have to, you can essentially use the TVs fairly easily with an Android smartphone if you have one. And it's similar to some of the earlier TVs that have been launched, but there are minor differences in build quality, in the kind of things that are going on within the TV. It's an interesting TV. The Mi TV 4A Pro is also a decent option, I would feel. That comes in the 43-inch size.
Yeah, okay. So the Mi TV 4A Pro is actually just a 1080p TV. It's pretty much a regular TV that you can get there. Only good thing I can see here is that it's 43-inch size is available at a price of 23,000 rupees. Now, I will say that these TVs, both of them are available from January 15th, okay? And the real problem here is that initially, at least, these TVs online, they're available via flash sales, which is a really bad thing. Although Xiaomi has said that these will be available via the Mi Home Store as well. If I am not mistaken, usually that means there is a slight premium to these TVs offline if you buy them. But I'm not sure with this one. Maybe it doesn't have it. So
it probably won't have a premium on the price, but then availability will be a situation. You'll walk into a Mi Home and say, I want this TV, and they'll be like, sir, sorry, stock nahi hai.
Ah, yeah, that's what. So that is something that Xiaomi really needs to avoid at this point. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I completely agree with you on two points you made. One is that the Patchwall OS, I'm not a huge fan of that. Because while it is designed for India and all of that, it's great to have this kind of a thing. I would tell people, please just look at buying one of these dedicated streaming sticks or something with your TV. I mean, if you're, you know, maybe buying a TV worth 40,000 rupees, it's not exactly like you are short of cash or something, right? So spend that extra small amount. So the most expensive streaming box in the market currently will be, I think, the Apple TV 4K, which starts at some 15,499 rupees or something. And if you look at any other box out there, it's going to be cheaper than that. So it's not like that big an investment, especially if you get the Fire TV 4K, that's for 6,000. So I would highly recommend that people get that and not use these inbuilt, operating systems on their smart TVs. But then that's just me. I don't know. Like, what do people think in general?
I think most people don't care. I think most people are happy to just use the platform that the TV comes built with. But then again, it depends on how you use your device as well. A lot of people do like the Fire TV stick, and it's a device that is doing pretty well. The Chromecast is something that sells as well. So a lot of I personally use a Chromecast, but I'd buy a Fire TV stick if I had a slightly better TV myself at home. But that's the thing. I would agree with you. It's worth investing in a Fire TV stick or a Chromecast. Probably a Fire TV stick, maybe an Apple TV if that's what you would prefer. But I think most people don't care about privacy concerns and
exactly
stuff.
Exactly. Where I'm coming from is that you don't exactly know. I'm not saying that, you know, Xiaomi necessarily does this, but there was recently a story about this brand called Vizio in the US. I think there was an interview in The Verge. I'll put a link in the show notes where basically the interviewer, the Verge editor Nilay Patel, he had asked the Vizio CEO, I think, yeah, it was a CEO, whether, why are their smart TVs cheaper than their dumb TVs? So, I mean, the short answer was post-purchase monetization. And if you read between the lines, that means that we can track your data and like show you better ads and sell it to advertisers and like make money from that, and also from the things you buy on the our smart TV platforms. If you buy a movie from there or whatever, apps from there, then we can make money from that and other things like that. So that's why their smart TVs are cheaper. So you should always remember, in my opinion, that you are not the product, you are the end user of the product. So if any platform is sort of making money off your data, that is, in my opinion at least, that's not correct. So that's why I would say just get a platform that respects your privacy, if possible, along with your TV. Now, there is a common misconception that, okay, to use one of these things like the Fire TV stick or whatever, you need to actually have a phone or whatever, another device linked to it. It's not, it's an independent device. Fire TV, Apple TV, all these are independent devices where you can sign in with your Apple or Amazon accounts and start using it as a smart TV. But then again, enough ranting about smart TVs, etc. Let's move to the other thing that Xiaomi announced, which is the Mi soundbar. Now, the soundbar is priced at 5,000 rupees. And, well, there is not that much to say about it. It's a soundbar without a separate subwoofer.
It's a sound bar. There's no subwoofer. It's got a total of 8 drivers, which is pretty good for a 5,000 rupee product. It's a volume enhancement. Think of it as that. Your TV itself has much smaller, much tinier speakers. Get one of these. It costs 5,000 rupees. If you've spent, like you said, 40,000 rupees on a TV, what's an extra 5,000 on improving your sound? Get one of these. You've got better, louder sound.
Yeah, that's true. The only thing I would like to describe here is that a soundbar is a long horizontal speaker. So about what, 1 meter or so in width? Is it length? I don't know.
In length,
In
yeah.
length, yeah. So 1 meter or so in length, and you place it directly under your TV, ideally. So, and what it does, essentially, it pretends that, okay, there are four other satellite speakers when there are none. It's just this one bar. And in the case of the Xiaomi soundbar, there is no separate subwoofer either. It's just a long soundbar, and that's your only speaker. And they have whatever that passive
So it's
radio.
got four passive radiators, which are essentially handling the low end, which is what a subwoofer would do. So you've got a total of 8 drivers. Four of them are for the upper ranges, four of them are for the lower range. You're getting bass, if that's what you're worried about. It's just not coming from a dedicated subwoofer.
You should definitely go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/gadgets360. Our star correspondent, Royden Sarejo, has been putting up a bunch of live videos over there with his coverage of CES. So if you want to see a bunch of interesting gadgets, that's the place to be. And I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we'll be back with one more episode next week. So I would highly recommend that you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. If you use any of these fancy apps, such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, please rate our show, review us, subscribe to the show. These things, they really help us a lot. You will not believe how much good it does us if you do these things. So thanks a lot for listening once again, and we'll be back with one more episode next week.